The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
Off the Record with Shivago Line is sponsored by Advantage Insurance, The Cleft of the Ocean, The Cleveland Clinic, Fidelity Bank of Bahamas, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I do apologize for the late start. I mean, things happen. We've had some, let's put it like that, okay? But thank you for your patience and so happy you could join us today. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. So the Free National Movement had a meeting, as you by now would have heard, in which there was an altercation that occurred between supposedly supporters of the party whose interests lie on different sides of, let's put it like this, whose support for certain personalities were different. There is, the Free National Movement has one leader. That leader is Michael Pintard. He's the leader of the Free National Movement. He is the official leader of the opposition. The party had a recent previous leader, Dr. Hubert Minnis. He is no longer the leader of the Free National Movement. He's a member of parliament and a member of the Free National Movement. There are some people apparently loyal to Dr. Minnis, who I think it is safe now to declare, has an interest in regaining the leadership of the Free National Movement. There is no question about that. That Dr. Minnis has aspirations to return as leader of the Free National Movement. My understanding is that there are others, some, who support and are encouraging him along these lines. Quite naturally then, he will not, I do not believe, it's not been my observation that people contending for leadership in this country tend to see themselves as saying this, okay, you know, even if that person is a very good leader, I am a better leader than them, and therefore I will display by my acumen, by my intelligence, by my behavior and conduct, how better a leader I am, and then that put me in a position to make my case. That's not what we do. What typically happens is you try to undermine the other person so that you look better to people who are observing. That's been my observation generally of the way people set about contending for leadership in too many instances in this country. And it doesn't matter sometimes if that's leadership in the church or in the business or in politics, that's what we do. And so it is a fairly observable reality that Mr. Pintard is not enjoying support from the former leader, the immediate past leader of the Free National Movement. He is not. On opportunities that leader has, the former leader, you can tell that he is not trying to enhance the profile of Mr. Pintard, but he's trying to enhance his own profile and so forth. Now, be sure of this. As the former prime minister and leader of the Free National Movement, Dr. Minnis has every right, and it is appropriate for him to defend his legacy as leader of the party and as prime minister of the country. He has every right to do that. So if he feels the need to rebuke or refute or to clarify any policy, behavior, conduct, project, program carried out by him as leader of the FNM or leader of the country, former, he has a right to do that. And people shouldn't say he should just go by quietly and fade off the scene. That's nonsense. as long as he is defending the thing that he had the leadership charge over, he has a right to do that. But it has to be possible to do that and enhance the prospect of your organization and of your leader at the same time as you do that, because that's the whole point about defending your legacy, is that you are saying, listen, this vehicle that we use to serve the country is a good vehicle. It was a good vehicle when I ran it. It's a good vehicle now when others are running it. But that is not always clear. And so there is this tension, this obvious conflict, this obvious disunity, this obvious lack of cooperation taking place. Now, let me tell you all something. If you fool yourself, delude yourself that Dr. Minnis does not have followers or loyalists or people who support him, you are absolutely out of your mind. Practically anyone you see rises to the level of leadership that way has followers. Carl Bethel has followers and supporters. Dion Folks has loyalists and fans and followers. All kinds of people. Tommy Turnquest will have, it could be 20, it could be 100, it could be 50, it could be 1,000. It doesn't matter. They all will have their followers. Hubert Alexander Ingram has enormous supporters and followers still. And so Dr. Minnis has his. The problem with that is, if someone supports you and follows you, they tend to take their cues from you. The followers and supporters of Michael Pintard will take cues from him. Of Ingram will take cues from him. Of Folks and Bethel and Turnquest and Minnis will take cues from all of them. And this is why leadership is so critically important. You know, the word leader comes from the root word led, which lead is a material that easily melts and can flow. And so you are talking in leadership about the ability to cause to flow people who follow you. So your cues make people flow in a direction. And if people get the sense from their leaders that this is okay to do and that's okay to do, if leaders don't set principles of nobility, principles of peacefulness, principles of integrity and decency and respectability and unity, then it isn't unusual that their followers may take that cue and not adopt those virtues also. If leaders do that, then the followers adopt those virtues. I will never forget and tire of reminding you, Nelson Mandela, the great leader of the ANC, who eventually became president of South Africa, went to prison, supposedly for life, for defending the cause of freedom in South Africa, but in the process, according to the courts of South Africa, violated the laws of South Africa and was regarded as having committed treason against the state. And he and his colleagues were sentenced to prison for life for that. Well, eventually, you know, he endured decades of imprisonment, eventually with great global agitation, was released by the South African government and then was in a position to contend for the leadership of his country. But in the process, there were people who in South Africa who understandably were angry about the treatment that had been accorded them and wanted to do the necessary to achieve power as soon as they could. And some wanted to use the bullet to achieve it because of the resistance they were getting from the South African government. And they were pressing Nelson Mandela to go in this direction because great violence was being meted out upon South Africans. And children were dying in South Africa. And they were pressing to end this slaughter, to end this abuse, this political tragedy that was taking place. And they were pressing Nelson Mandela to go this direction. This is a man who, in the course of his imprisonment, demonstrated a regard and a respect and dignity before the prisoners of South Africa, in the South African prison, that they came to admire him as a person. Nelson Mandela pondered what he should do, pondered this situation, and decided to take to the airwaves by way of television to speak to his people. This is Nelson Mandela, who endured the abuses of South Africa's government, who understood with great clarity the violence that was being meted out upon his people. And Nelson Mandela said to his people, "I am your leader. And as your leader, I must tell you when you are wrong." He says, "And I am telling you now that you are wrong. That we will not take up the bullet, but we can take up the ballot and achieve victory in South Africa." And that is exactly what happened. They listened to him because they respected him and they regarded him. Leaders have to know how to direct their people in ways that achieves the ultimate end. If your leadership is only about your personal achievements, you do not deserve to be leader of anything. Anything. If your leadership does not bring people together upward in a quest towards some end that makes of life better than the life that exists, you do not deserve to lead anything. Egoism. Individuality, self-interest is anathema to leadership. When you can, if you are, I want you to think about this now. Listen to me. Listen to me. If you are a leader and you can watch a member of your organization that you led or seek to lead or lead attack another member of that same organization, and you do not in the strongest way rebuke that behavior, what the hell are you leading or seeking to lead or have led? Everything about that is an affront to the very purpose of the thing that you seek to lead, have led, or are leading. If you do not condemn that behavior, you have disqualified yourself for any hint that you should be the leader of anything. Because if you can stand to see your members seek to destroy each other, then you have no love nor regard or consideration for what that organization is all about. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a step.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
For 25 years, Advantage Insurance has provided coverage for your most prized possessions, offering insurance plans to cover your vehicle, home, business, and boat with customized options that work with your budget. Now, Advantage says thank you to all our loyal customers and business partners over the past 25 years. Call 356-0285. Visit Advantage Insurance on Collins Avenue today. When every dollar counts, count on Advantage. Celebrating 25 years of service.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. You can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We're talking about the incident that happened between by Gerald Cash following a meeting of the Free National Movement branch in that area. You know, let me be clear on something. Leaders can't stop their folk from behaving in a way. You cannot stop them. Be sure of that. So it would be foolish and naive to blame a leader or an organization for what two individual people with free will do, or one, or three, or four, or five. You cannot control another person's tongue, another person's actions. That is not possible for any leaders to do. Okay, so any sense that, oh, blame Mr. Pintad, blame Dr. Minnis personally for the actions of any individual, that's nonsense. Utter nonsense. Okay, that does not arise. What leaders can do is influence. Before an event, you try to influence your people to flow in a particular direction. That's what you're trying to do. It's a human effort. Almighty God tries to influence human conduct, and still we do not behave as he would like us to. And this is the all-powerful God of the universe, according to Scripture. And according to Scripture, couldn't get his first two human beings to behave the way he wanted them to behave. So it is nonsense to believe that you can control people's behavior. Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. But that didn't stop God from trying to influence them. What did he say to them? You see that tree there? You don't eat of it. You could eat of all the other trees, but leave that tree alone. That's what you do. You give guidance and direction to your folks. What they do with it is up to you. Now, when they act, you are required to respond. That's where your leadership now comes in. Your influence is prior to an action, prior to an event. Your response, not reaction, but response is now after the event. What do you now do in light of the behavior of your folk? Two people having a fight in the Free National Movement is not a panic scenario for the Free National Movement. It's not a condemnation on that organization, because it is always foolish if we think, if two people amidst thousands act away to characterize the organization with the behavior of those two people. That'd be like saying, if one of my brothers or myself acts up my mother is a terrible mother because of one that other action. Disregard the behavior of every other brother, sister, and I have 8 of them. That's nonsense. You cannot characterize the behavior of an organization, a group, a country on the basis of any one person's action. That would be like saying Judas betrayed Jesus, therefore all of the other 11 disciples and Jesus's movement was awful. It's nonsense. It doesn't make sense. But what does now need to happen for those people who want to now display their leadership is to respond to the circumstances. Now, you've heard there's an inquiry, an investigation being done by the party. That's appropriate. Find out what happened. What were the details? What were the circumstances? And then you respond accordingly. But the fact that any violence has occurred, every single leader of the party should without hesitation, condemn it, period. You don't need an investigation to condemn violence. This is not what the party is about. This is not what this organization is about. And those kinds of people, we want to guide and direct and assure that is not the behavior we want to be indicative of anything related to the party. Period. Then you could come up with your investigation. Well, what we found out was this. What we found out was that. We therefore had to suspend this one and the next one. Do whatever you have to do. But condemnation of violence, condemnation of that kind of disunity, that's easy. Easy. Let me tell you something. The greatest proof of leadership is the greatest proof of leadership is care and concern and kindness toward followers. So the leader must first, it's love. It has to have a love. But I was trying not to use love because we see love as such a airy-fairy word in too many instances. But a leader must have caring, concern, and kindness toward membership. The followings, right? And then the deep desire and effort to unify the membership toward a common cause. If you have a leader who is not desirous and making every effort to unify the followers toward a common cause, you have no leader at all. For what else is leadership but influencing people to work together to achieve a common goal? That's what it is. So if that's not what a leader is doing, then that is not a leader. The leader has to care about all the members. Listen to me, man. If you're walking around and you only care about the people who care, if you walk around and only care about the people who support you, you are disqualified to be a leader. That's just practically dumb. It is stupid to walk around caring only about the people who care and support you. That's dumb. Why? Because leadership, especially in a political sense, is about addition and multiplication. If you are operating on division and subtraction, you are undermining your own aims and efforts. So how dumb would that be? The last thing I want a person who doesn't support me to know is that I'm angry or disgusted with you for not supporting me. That demonstrates a deficiency inside of me. And trust me, we all have them. We all have these pains within us that if we're not careful, they manifest in the way we treat other people and so forth. So a leader has to rise above his own personal pain and insecurities and embrace even the people who support someone else. Why should they not have the right to support someone else as the people who support you have the right to support you? It is absolutely insane. It is irrational. And it is frightening that educated, supposedly adult, mature people believe these kinds of ways. But the leader embraces The leader gathers. The leader coordinates. The leader influences cooperation in among the group so that the whole organization could benefit from the gifts and talents and abilities of all. That's what the leader does. So you influence prior to, right? That's like prior to the vote, you're trying to influence. Prior to the event, you're trying to influence. And then after an event, you are responding. And that response is intended to further influence toward future action and behavior and conduct. Now, we all make, as in leadership, we all make mistakes. We all get it wrong. We all let our feelings get in the way. We all let our egos get ahead of ourselves. We all do. So no human being who is in leadership, has been in leadership, is I don't even want to use the word perfect because that don't even arise, is so fantastic that they don't mess it up. We all do. But aspirationally speaking, the leader wants to continue to do the things that reflect strong and good leadership and avoid, minimize the things that do not. And so my hope is the event has happened, and you can't stop people from thinking about the event, waiting and think about it and having a view, a point of view, and all that kind of things. You're going to be able to stop that. But now this is an excellent opportunity, now for the organization to demonstrate its real character, right? You know, it's easy to look good when things are good, but to look good when things are bad, now that's something else. And here's the thing, what I've learned, right? Is things can't look good when they are bad if they are bad within. Like, you can't look good for a long period of time in a difficult situation if you are doing the work of being good inside. Eventually, everybody can know, wait it out, that will mash right up. And so the organization has to bring its troops to its healthy cells. Yeah? It's healthy cells. To work on its sick cells for healing, right? And that demonstrates a functioning body, right? A body isn't functioning because it never gets wounded, because it never gets sick. It's functioning because when it gets wounded and sick, it knows how to heal. That's the reality. So don't get caught up in all the public relations of this and what it looked like today. Do the real work of being a real good, functional, productive organization, and the rest will be history. You know, any organization, you never bust up. Huh? All organizations had bust up. Man, Jesus had 12, and 12 of them break off running, and they arrested him and was getting ready to kill the man. But look at his kingdom today. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We have to take a break for news. We'll be back after the news break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Future is full of super possibilities, so you need a super college savings plan to match. With an RF educational investment account, you can get returns well above the traditional savings account. You can use the funds to cover a variety of educational expenses at home or abroad. And if things don't go as planned, the funds are easily transferable. Plan for all your child's super possibilities with the RF educational investment account. Get started today at rfgroup.com.
the car
I ain't marched the car
The lady run into me, marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Ban on abortion, which we have seen from the other side, the safety of kids in school, not protecting the NRA, as we've seen from the Republicans, and the right to vote and have that vote counted.
It comes as Democrats have seen their political hopes rebound in recent months by actions by the president and Congress. The Justice Department submitted to a judge proposed redactions to the affidavit it relied on when federal agents searched the Florida estate of former President Donald Trump to look for classified documents. The judge must decide if to make it public or how much to disclose. I'm Ed Donahue.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live, I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us at 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Let me tell you all something. Even the most excellent of leadership cannot guarantee success in the leadership enterprise. You can have a perfect, perfect leader and still fail in what you are attempting to do. For the religious, my example of that is Almighty God. This world is not the way he wanted it to be. Even the Garden of Eden was not the way he wanted it to be, insofar as the conduct of the humans he created were. So excellent, strong leadership does not guarantee success in an organization, and it is foolish, naive to think otherwise. What excellent and good leadership does is improves your prospect for succeeding and gives you the best shot at rectifying the circumstance when things go amiss. Because leadership is a dance between leaders and followers. Leaders have their own free will. Followers have their own free will. Followers don't have to do what leaders want, and leaders don't have to do what followers want. They have to agree between themselves to do so. This is true in all human relationships, right? The Bible says, as an example, how can two walk together except they be agreed? So what leaders have to understand, whether you are a father, a husband, a wife, a guardian, a teacher, a principal, a manager, a prime minister, a cabinet minister, a member of parliament, what we have to understand is that we lead with the agreement of that individual, independent, separate soul that is a part of our grouping. They agree with us to follow us. What we have to figure out is, we have to figure out what things that we can do, say B, that encourages that agreement and cooperation more than anything else. And so we do those things and avoid the things that discourages that agreement, cooperation, and following. So for instance, one thing we do know is that when we serve people, like when we show people that we have their interests at heart, we seek to ensure that they are capable of succeeding as we wish to succeed, when we help them see the bigger picture that will benefit them, we know that there is a greater tendency, not perfect tendency, but greater tendency on their part to follow. So leadership is a dance between cooperating parties. So sometimes you have great leaders and bad followers, and sometimes you have great followers and bad leaders. Sometimes you have great leaders and great followers, and sometimes you have bad leaders and bad followers. Okay? So the people who follow in an organization, so I talked about leadership before, right? If you are in an organization, listen to me now. I want you to see how absolutely ridiculous some of our thinking and behavior can be. You are in an organization and you say, this is what you say, we are the FNM. We are the PLP. That's what you say. You say, we. You didn't say, I am the FNM. You say, I am the PLP. You say, we are the FNM. We are the PLP. So you are acknowledging that the other person in the group is one of you. That's what you're saying. What is going through your doggone head when you castigate, insult, put down, and then violently attack that person? What is going through your head? That you're going to have a better organization because of this? You're going to have a stronger organization because of this? You're going to look better to the people you're trying to get to support your organization because of this? What is good? You have just demonstrated you have no concern for that organization. You have no interest in that organization. You are only about yourself. That your level of maturity is not sufficient to allow you to say, you know what, I really want to attack that person. I'm angry with that person. But it serves no useful purpose for me to follow through on that thought. It serves not the interest of my folk to do that. So I'm not going to do that. Now, it might be this case that you can't have helped yourself because you were under the influence of something. You know, sometimes we are under the influence of other people's directives. Sometimes we are under the influence of people's financial encouragement. Sometimes we are under the influence of alcohol. Sometimes we are under the influence of drugs. Sometimes we are under the influence of something. Sometimes it could be under the influence of demonic spirits that we do what we do, even though that doesn't excuse us. It don't excuse us because we still make that choice to do it. Okay, but recognize that hating on someone who belongs to your group is an exact statement of your own self-hatred. Let me say it again. To hate on your family member is a reflection of your self-hatred. To hate on your work colleagues is a reflection of your self-hatred. To hate on your boss is a reflection of your self-hatred. You hate yourself because if in that hatred you wish ill on your colleagues and your leadership, then you wish ill on the organization that is a part of the effort to help you get where you want to go, so you hate yourself. If you hate people in the Bahamas, you hate the Bahamas because you hate yourself. This is listen, now, let me tell you something. Many of us, And you hear me, Chicago Lang, say us, right? We are wounded human beings. When we were born, our hearts were pure. And our sense of self was authentic. And as infants and children, we were real as real could get, right? We were pure. Our motives were pure. Our desires were pure. And we lived in a genuine self-expression. So when you see that child laugh, the child is genuinely laughing. When that child cries, that child is genuinely crying. When you see that child gives you a hug, that's a genuine hug. If you have to beg a child for a hug, if you got to beg them for a hug, don't beg the child for a hug. Leave the child, let the child hug you. If you ask the child for a hug and the child hugs you, okay, get your hug. If the child don't hug you, leave that child. That child is acting in genuine, authentic, virtuous self-fulfillment. Right? But then, as we grow, as we age, we start having experiences. People start letting us down. Things start happening to us, bad, negative. And now, you know what happens? What enters our lives? Pain. We experience pain, and every human being knows pain ain't pleasant. I don't want no pain in my life. So that's what keeps the child from doing the thing that got it stick with the needle in the first place, got it burnt from the pot in the first place. Pain. I don't want that pain. Now that's physical pain. That's what they sometimes call clean pain. Okay, physical pain. The pain that wounds. The physical body, that's called clean pain because, you know, it happens, the body heals itself, boom. But then there's dirty pain. That's the pain that wounds the mind, the psychological pain. And that's the kind of pain that we don't heal well from because a lot of us don't know how to heal from it. There's not a natural process of healing from it that the body does without even our minds being involved. We don't know how to heal from that. And so what we know is, boy, there's all this pain in the world and I don't want that kind of pain. And we do all kind of crap to try to avoid that pain. Some of us, that pain it causes us to feel a way about ourselves, to feel like we are not really so important. We're not really so valuable. We really don't matter that much. And what happens is we overshoot in trying to counteract that pain by doing things that make us matter. So I'm a big time lawyer. I'm a big time doctor. I'm a big time businessman. I got lots of money and all that kind of stuff. And all that those things are doing is covering up our self sense of insecurity about how we don't believe we are all of that, but these things make us look like all of that. And so what happens is from time to time, things happen, events happen, people happen that touch that soft spot of insecurity in us, and it kicks in defensiveness. It kicks in anger. And we want to lash out to try and cover up that spot again so that we aren't in pain. Let me tell you something. These same people you admire and adore, these same people are those kinds of human beings who are in pain and behaving out of that pain and out of the fear of any such pain coming into their lives or being exposed. And that's why we behave in the irrational ways that we behave. I've been that person. Yeah. I've been that person acting out of defensiveness, acting out of, concern to protect some false identity that I have. I didn't see the identity as false at the time. No, I didn't. This was me. This was the way I am. But when you delve deeper, that wasn't no you. That was you trying to protect yourself from being hurt by people. So you don't want to be hurt by people emotionally. You act stoically. You don't want to be hurt by people and rejected by people. You control your environment. You control what you're doing. And you have leaders who are wounded children in adult bodies, acting in adult positions that they ought not to be in. until they get healing, find their genuine self again, and be able to deal with people on a level of compassion and love, honesty and truth. Right? That's most of us. Most of us need this healing. We need to be free from the fears that drive us to do stupid things. Because at the heart of it is a bunch of fear. You see that leader? Look strong, eh? Look courageous, eh? Ain't nothing but a shell. Scared as hell that you might find out they really ain't all that. They really don't have it all together as they seem to think or seem to make you think. They're scared that you might actually get to see them in their nakedness. See us in our nakedness. Rather than understand, you know, when I come to grips with who I am or what I am, I see a person with great capabilities, but I also see a person inadequate in ways, but that's okay because I'm a growing soul and I can grow into, and if I can lean on you and if I can rely on you, that makes us all together strong and we can get this done. It is the fool who thinks that I alone can fix it. Let me say it again. It is the fool who thinks I alone can fix it. That's not absolute nonsense. I alone can't fix nothing. So followers have to take responsibility for behaving in ways that demonstrates compassion, care, and concern for their colleagues, and must reflect kindness toward them. I ask you, you're listening to me. You're a voter in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. If you saw an organization, a political organization in which you saw camaraderie between its members, care and concern between its members, absolute cooperation between its members, are you more or less likely to support that organization? Somebody tell me, please, unless I'm going out of my mind. You look at this organization, you go, wow, there's such a authenticity about the way they behave with each other, the way they, even in their disagreement, there is such beauty even in their disagreement. I mean, that's fascinating. I'm not talking about this threatening people to shut up and to pretend like everything is hunky-dory. You know, I'm not talking about that's nonsense. I'm talking about openness to say, in this organization, you could be black, white, green, yellow. You could be male or female. You could be rich or poor. You could be Indian or chief or doctor, lawyer, carpenter, electrician, or maid. In this organization, look, can you see the cooperation that's taking place? Do you see the tenderness and the care and concern and the kindness that the leaders show toward the members and the membership toward the leaders? Do you see how they are able to interject their concerns about what the organization is doing without being attacked by doing that they can be vulnerable in the organization to express their feelings, their hurt, and still what happens is they come together and try to fix it and make it work so that they can be for the cause that they serve a better group? You support that organization or would you condemn them? Would you shun them? This person says support. Yeah. I would support that kind of organization for sure. Stack says, preach, line, preach. Powerful statement. I thank you. I'm dead serious. I mean, listen, man. I'm trying to be rid of every single underlying pain in my life because all pain does is induce fear. And fear makes us behave like slaves. Huh? What you say, Mr. Lang? Yeah, fear makes you behave like a slave. You know why? Because it makes you a slave. How does a slave behave? Limited. Right? Survivalistic. Diminished. Right? you can't be your full self. The slave knows they are better human beings than the human masters treating them like. The slave knows that. The slave knows that they have enormous potential, but they got to be careful. They can't offend the master. They got to be careful what they do. They even have to be careful of other slaves, because other slaves might tell the master what they are doing, and then all of a sudden they become in trouble. So fear makes us act like slaves. If you want to know how fearful you are, just check how you behave. Why are you doing the things you're doing? Do you want to know how to know whether you are acting in fear? Stop doing it. If you stop doing it and you continue to be restless and anxious, you're acting in fear. If you stop doing what you're doing and you're no longer anxious and fearful, you're not acting in fear. That's how you know. Like if you're dating somebody, right? And you are anxious and fearful and worried. And if you stop dating them and you're still anxious and fearful and worried, then they are not your problem. But if you stop dating them and you are not anxious, fearful and worried, then you are dating them out of fear and worry. Right? So we have to be conscious as both leaders and followers that as human beings, if we're not healthy, and by healthy I mean if we don't have a healthy self, a sense of self, if our own views of ourselves, opinions of ourselves are not realistic, because some of us, we have unrealistic views of ourselves. And it's that unrealistic view that makes us so defensive, because when people challenge it, we get at them quickly. I used to have an unrealistic view of myself. That is true. I used to. A part of my defensiveness was that I had an unrealistic view of myself, born of the events and things that happened in my life. I used to. And when I ceased to do that, my defensiveness diminished. Right? And so you got to keep growing. So you see that incident that happened in the parking lot? If the Free National Movement is wise, it will become a much stronger organization. It's already a strong organization, just as the PLP is, but it'll become a much stronger and better organization if it fully takes advantage of that event. It has an opportunity. It's only been a few hours to do so. Okay? Even the offenders, your response to the offenders is going to tell a story of you. Right? The victim clearly will receive a certain degree of compassion from many, and that is necessary. The offender, that treatment also will reflect your character. Now, that don't mean you excuse nonsense and crap and stupidness people do. That just means even in your execution of fairness and justice, the tenderness or the grace with which you do it will reflect on the character of the organization. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. We'll take a break. We'll be back after this break. This break.
Not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together. And we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, Visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Your child's future is full of super possibilities, so you need a super college savings plan to match. With an RF educational investment account, you can get returns well above the traditional savings account. You can use the fund to pay off educational expenses at home or abroad. And if things don't go as planned, the funds are easily transferable. Plan for all your child's super possibilities with the RF Educational Investment Account. Get started today at rfgroup.com.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live, I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. Or 325-4316, or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, good day, yes, would inspire hope and enthusiasm for their cause, meaning the leader, especially in a time like this when there are so many reasons to feel negative and sense of hopelessness. I'm going to come back to that statement in a little while. I'm going to come back to that. This text says, pain induces fear and makes you act irrationally. That's true. It's true. So Mr. Lang, but pain is a natural reaction. It is how the body releases emotions. If you get rid of pain, you might become emotionless. Fear is also a natural reaction. Even in the animal kingdom, we all are afraid of something. You're right that pain is natural and fear is natural, but do you really believe it was God's intention that Adam and Eve dwell in the garden in fear and pain? Do you really believe that? You believe that the intent was? Do you believe that pain will exist? I'm only saying this if you believe in God now, and if you believe in the scripture, that pain will exist in the new in paradise. Did not the Bible say, and all tears shall be wiped from their eyes and there'll be pain no more? What is natural does not mean that that is what is intended to always be. It is an adaptive trait for an environment you're in. So there is an intelligence about pain. It's a warning signal. It says something is wrong, but that only warns this so that you can get rid of the pain. Okay, that's the point that I made. You're trying to get rid of the pain. That's why it's warning. You don't have the warning signal so it can stay there. It's to tell you, listen, take a look at that toe. Take a look at that elbow. Take a look at that fingernail. Something is wrong. And once you take a look and do the necessary to heal, the body does the necessary to heal, what happens to the pain? It goes away. So it's not natural doesn't mean it must be. Natural means it's there in the event of. So I'm saying you get rid of the pain. Fear is only a feeling you have of anticipating pain. That's what fear is. So that too is tied to the pain. Once you get rid of the pain, you can get rid of the fear. Because once you understand emotionally how things are working, you can recognize the irrationality of fear. The Bible says fear is bondage. Do you think God intended us to be in bondage? Therefore, we should be okay with fear? Fear is not bad. It's an intelligence that the human being has to tell it something is wrong. But once you fix what is wrong, the fear should go away. You don't want to live in constant fear. even the human body becomes diseased by continuous fear. Okay? The fear that exists in nature exists temporarily. Animals aren't continuously fearful. In their primal state, their mind, their brains are constantly scanning their environment for threats, right? But animals don't live in fear. The animal lives in observation of its environment and reaction and response to the things in it. You know what? You ever hear about any animal dying of stress? Having any stroke from pressure? This text says, I see your point. That's why you are the teacher and I'm the student. Keep up the good work. I thank you. I thank you for asking the question. This text says, Lang, is that music part of your talk show? What music? I don't hear no music, my friend. Might be on your side. Unless the station got some music playing. The text says, the problem is Minnis needs to go to be a doctor and Pinta a Toastmaster and Papa needs to come and run the show to get rid of the one-way flow wave. What ain't so brave? Oh, Lord. I don't think any of that is true, but, but you know, they just need to address appropriately the issues and move forward, okay? What needs to happen in every instance. You do your best. Fix it, you know? Fix it. This is a great opportunity, I think, for Mr. Pintad as leader. See, we all want, somebody says intermittent static. Well, I don't know. I don't know where the static is coming from. You can't hear me also, really? I cannot tell you what that's about. I have the same setup I have every single day, and I don't know. So I don't know. Maybe we'll figure it out one day, but I really don't know. Say, wait, did you say Papa coming back? No, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I don't think there's any Papa coming back. But you know, I suppose if others believe they could come back, who knows? But I can assure you, I have no idea, no thought that is what's going to happen. So this says you were gone for about 60 seconds. Oh, okay. Not sure what's going on there, but hopefully it's permanently resolved. You know, nostalgia is a part of the human experience, and wanting what you used to have because it represented something positive in your life, that's understandable. So when some people say they'd like to have Ingram back, some people say they'd like to have Penlin back or what have you, that doesn't offend me or upset me. Like I hear sometimes others get offended and upset, you know. That's a part of the human experience, nostalgia for what was, especially if what was positive and believed to be positive by them, right? But nostalgia can also be a trap because it makes us, when you are nostalgic, let me break something down for you all. You know why, if you break up with somebody, your wife, your husband, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, you know why it's difficult to get over them? One of the reasons is nostalgia. Nostalgia keeps you in longing. And that longing keeps you in attachment. And that attachment makes you suffer because the reality you have is not the reality you want. And when your brain has a disconnect between what it wants and what it has, frustration ensues. And so if you're not careful how you handle nostalgia, nostalgia will make you continue to long for that which cannot be. And anytime you are longing for that which cannot be, you get in frustration. Here's the other danger of nostalgia. Nostalgia that brings attachment makes you incapable of seeing a better something that could exist for you, a better reality that could exist for you. You could have a most wonderful human being looking there and saying, listen, I love this person. I really adore this person. And what a grand thing it would be to be with that person. But you can't see them, and you won't even give that an opportunity because you are stuck in nostalgia. Okay? You're stuck in... Now, let me tell you. What you never want to do is never be desperate for a connection with anybody or anything. Never. Never be needy for a connection with anybody or anything. Once you have satisfied yourself with contentment to be yourself, you now can want to share yourself with somebody else or with something else. If you do it in desperation, it can be a problem. That's how you find and pick bad leaders when you're desperate. That's how you find and pick bad employees when you're desperate. That's how you find and pick bad husband and wife when you're desperate and needy. When you're desperate and needy. So you don't want to be that. So nostalgia has its place, but you know, you want to make sure it don't keep you attached to a reality you can no longer have. It says nostalgia being the confident authority. Yeah. There are leaders who the nostalgia of being what they were keeps them from moving on. There's no question about that. No question about it. So, Mr. Lang, I want Papa back, but I don't think people in the FNM would have the temperament for Papa-type leadership because Papa don't put up with foolishness. Papa might tell them, only one chief in the party, everyone else is Indians. Okay. So, Mr. Lang, a lot of us born today because of desperate and needy. It doesn't make no difference what would make you born, because you have no control over your being born. All right? But you don't want that to be the normal in your life. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Papa needed to come back. You should open the show one day to find out how many, including myself, want Papa back. Make sure he's looking. Stack says, Lang, that's the most truest thing you ever said on this radio. And I'm not sure which one it was. Stack says, my brother, long as we in the flesh and blood, there be no peace. That's why flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom. Say, Lord. But I don't agree with you. And if you're believing in Jesus Christ, Jesus don't believe with you. Because Jesus' disciples were in the flesh, and Jesus said to his disciples, my peace I give to you. Not as the world give I it unto you. And if I give it to you, the world can't take it away. Okay, so I'm sorry. No, I don't agree with you at all. You can have peace. And I'm asking you, I have peace. I have peace today. I have peace. So I'm sorry. I don't agree with you at all. And apparently Jesus don't agree with you either. And this text says, man, let Papa be an advisor and give Pinta to go. Well, Papa don't have to do nobody has to do anything. Mr. Ingram is not now today the leader of the Free National Movement, and nor do I know that he's desiring to do so. And Mr. Pintard is. So there's no letting anything. Mr. Pintard is today the leader of the Free National Movement. That's the reality. There's no letting at all. He just leads. That's what he has to do. Say, no, don't do that survey about Papa coming back. People will misunderstand you, and PR will kill the party. Me, I have no interest in that. That's not my responsibility. If a party wants to know what people think is necessary for its success, the party does that. Right? That's not me. All right? So we'll see. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. We're going to take our final break, and then when we come back, we wrap up the show. You listen. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. When I was driving with my son today, I asked him, I said, what's the most dangerous animal you believe? What's the most dangerous animal? He said a box jellyfish. That's what he said. I think that's what he called it. I said, let me ask you a question. If you could absolutely control a box jellyfish, would you be scared of it? And he said, no. I said, what's the most dangerous dinosaur there was? And he said, I said, a T-Rex? He said, no, not a T-Rex. He said, a Tyrannosaurus. I think that's the name of it. I could be wrong. I said, and if you knew that you could absolutely control such a creature, would you be afraid of it? He said, no. I said, what's the scariest, most dangerous monster like you know in the movies? He said Godzilla. So I said, and if you thought that you could control Godzilla 100%, would you be afraid of Godzilla? He said, no. I didn't explain anything else to him, but I want you to see the pattern. And I did the same thing with my daughter. I asked her the same questions, and the answer was always no. If I could control, I wouldn't be afraid. Do you realize that fear drives us to be controlling? Because fear is essentially the loss of control of the certainty of behavior to avoid harm or bring pleasure, right? So we become, the more fearful we are, the more controlling we would like to be. So when you meet a controlling person, you really are dealing with somebody who's very fearful. They may not appear so. They may look strong and powerful and be bold and what have you, but in essence, there's some insecurities. They have some intense insecurities that they have, that they are trying to control their environment to make sure they avoid that pain that they could have, or to maintain that pleasure that they think they get out of the things that they are controlling. And so controlling people reflect a really deep pain inside of them that needs to be addressed if they are to be free, to allow others to be free. And in that freedom, they can all enjoy a more innovative, creative, loving, caring, kind environment. Mean people are controlling people. Why? They are scared. They're scared of losing something that they have attached themselves to, that they think brings them security, keeps them from pain. this is some of the dynamics at work in our circumstances every single day. Stack says, great show, Shivago, as usual, and great discourse on leadership. I'm reminded of Pastor Miles' leadership that everything rises and falls on leadership, and leadership is born in crisis. I have followed the FNM party's highs and lows in leadership over the years, and I believe it is a good time to address their leadership crisis and solve it once and for all. Even if the FNM has to have a split like the new PLP with Cecil Wallace Whitfield. Sadly, such continuous fighting can will destroy the FNM party, which I find overall to be a good party over the years. The FNM doesn't have a leadership crisis, you know. It does not, because, see, when you have a leadership crisis, you have multiple people directing the party itself. Okay, and then there is and remains questions about who's the leader. That's not the FNM situation. Everybody knows that the leader of the FNM is Michael Bintad. Everybody in the party knows the leader of the FNM is Michael Bintad. Those who want to, who contending for leadership knows that Michael Bintad is the leader of the party, and they're trying to get rid of him. And that happens in every organization. That's standard static. So you're not going to do anything about that. So the FNM has no leadership crisis at all. Not at all. Not at all. FNM has a behavioral issue with some of his people. That's all. No crisis. Some of his people are uncooperative. Some of the people are seeking to undermine in their own quest for leadership, in their own quest for what they want. That is typical and standard in almost every organization. So there's no crisis in the FNM at all. And it doesn't have to fix anything. You can always have leadership issues, no matter who's the leader. When Mr. Ingram was leader of the Free National Movement, listen to me, let me tell you something. There was a point at which significant personalities in the FNM said, we want our party back. That's how they viewed Mr. Ingram, as some other who had made of their party something it was not. Okay? In the course of Mr. Ingram's leadership, Tennyson Wells challenged him for leadership. And you had, at the time when Mr. Ingram was backing away, Tommy Turnquist was contending for leadership, Dion Folks was contending for leadership, Algernon Allen was contending for leadership, and Tennyson Wells was contending for leadership, and so forth. So leadership aspirations will always exist in an organization. There's nothing wrong with that. Even in the strength, there was nothing wrong with somebody wanting to replace Mr. Ingram, nothing at all. I always tell people, I told one of the leaders in the FNM one time, I said, listen, you can't believe that a somebody else's child can't desire to be what you are when you, your mother's child, desires to be who you are. You can't believe that. So the FNM has no crisis. It has no crisis. That's people who are doing things that could undermine its cause, but that's standard. And all Mr. Pintad has to do as leader is be mindful to pay attention to the things he needs to pay attention to, and don't be distracted by some of that nonsense. Let me tell you all something. Your attention is the most valuable asset you have. Your attention. Because the things you focus on grows for you. If you focus on the wrong thing will grow in your life. So your attention is your most valuable asset. Be careful when people are doing things trying to get your attention to keep you distracted from the thing you should be paying attention to. Right? They kicking up and fussing up, and you think you have to answer them. Answer who? Huh? They acting up and carrying on, and think you should be paying attention to them. Why? Do what you got to do. Make sure you focus on what you're supposed to focus on that keeps you whole and keeps the things that you are working on healthy and strong and moving forward. So I do not agree that Mr. Pintad needs to be paying attention to all this nonsense. Mr. Pintad's attention needs to be on the one group of people that matters the most on planet Earth for him and his organization. That's the Bahamian people as a whole. That's the Bahamian people as a whole, because who can make that party government again? Only the Bahamian voters. So why should I focus on any individual when the people that gets my organization to its destiny to do the good it seeks to do are the voters. Careful. People are always trying to distract you and undermine your effort. Be careful. Sometimes you, are, as a parent, you're doing what you're supposed to do and you're cheering, fuss, kicking up and fussing up. Don't pay them no attention. I was on a plane one time and this lady, man, her daughter was carrying on bad. This girl, the daughter must have been 3 or 4. And I could see the embarrassment. I could see the concern. And this is a young mother, but having had 4 children of my own. And she was sitting right on the side of me. She was sitting right on the side of me. And I could tell, listen, I could tell the lady was tired, man. She was exhausted. And we were on a flight to Europe. She was exhausted. So you know what I said to her? Because I saw her kept doing this and doing it. I said, listen, let her cry. And don't you be concerned about us. Don't worry about us. You just let her cry. I guarantee you, in a little while, she'll be asleep. But every time you try to, you are reinforcing in her that what she's doing to get your attention works. So just let her cry. Let her cry. Go ahead. And man, in 10 minutes, that child was sleeping like a baby. The woman looked at me and she went, wow. He said, that's what having 4 children does to you. Then I was somewhere else sitting down by a restaurant. This young girl, you could see, oh man, this little boy was terrorizing her, running up and down. And she, all day she just keeps running after him and he keeps saying, because he's bothering people come to me and so forth and so forth. I said, darling, listen to me. She's an American. I said, just leave the child. I said, because every time you get up to show him attention, which is what he wants from you, he keeps realizing that I just have to keep doing this thing. I said, let him leave him. Leave him. Just make sure he stays out of danger, but you leave him. And sure enough, she ain't paying that no attention. He comes sit right down on the side of her. Be careful what you give your attention to, man. Right? Make sure it is what you need to be paying attention to. This text says, as long as Minister ain't no more leader of the FNM, the party's okay. this text says, no more splits. There's no leadership crisis. The former leader just needs to get out of his petty feelings and face reality. He is done. He doesn't even need to do that because his aspirations is irrelevant to what the aspirations are of the FNM's delegates and supporters. So even if he's interested to return as leader, that's his right. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, seriously, don't say that. There's nothing wrong with him wanting to do that. He could only be that, though, if the delegates want it. And if the delegates want it, that's democracy. That's how it should be. And if the supporters want it, that's how it should be. So I don't get concerned about that. Person says, attention, excellent advice. Hope Pintard is listening. Stay focused. Every human being's great asset is attention. The things we pay attention to grow in our lives. Anyways, listen, you all have a great, great afternoon. God bless you. I trust and hope that you have a good evening, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow. God spares life. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. Be good. Bye-bye.
Stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take.